Well, Lee, as Kamala was kicking Christians out of her rally for saying Jesus is Lord, that'll get you thrown out now, with the Democrat crowd cheering as you're thrown out.
Yeah. That was disturbing.
Donald Trump not kicking out anyone. This was just pure political genius. And Trump pulled it off working that window at the Pennsylvania McDonald's.
Yes, exactly.
He was having so much fun. And you could tell. And that's why it worked.
Yeah.
That's why it worked. And look, he started off to make it clear. Like, look, I'm here because I have now worked at McDonald's 15 minutes more than Kamala.
Yeah.
Remember, she claimed to work at McDonald's, but nobody could figure out where or when.
Yeah.
Mr. President, you actually have worked at McDonald's now versus...
Now I have worked at McDonald's. I've now worked for 15 minutes more than Kamala.
Are you going to put this on your resume?
She never worked here.
I've now worked
15 minutes more than Kamala.
So will it be put on your resume?
Worked at McDonald's.
Why would she lie about that?
Why? Because she's lying, Kamala. That's why. Why would she lie? She should lie about it. McDonald's confirmed four times now. She never worked here. But let's not talk about that. It's an amazing business. It's an amazing country. And we're going to make America greater than ever before.
You know, I'm going to kick the AP once again because they, in their story reporting about this, they said that Trump once again repeated the statement that she never worked at McDonald's without any proof. I'm like, okay, fine. Then has the Harris campaign given any proof that she did?
No, and that's his point.
And she's the one that brought this up.
Yeah, she is.
She's the one that brought this up. So...
And that's his point. The media has been doing this too, the national media. Well, that's unproven that she, well, go, you know what? Pretend she's a Republican.
Yeah. Everything that Harris says is accepted at face value. Anything that Trump says, well, you've got to show us, you've got to give us verification. We have to have some proof. We don't believe you.
By noon, if she was a Republican, by noon, the media would have already been on the phone with McDonald's headquarters verifying whether she did or did not. And you know what? She didn't work there. And that's why they haven't done it. That's why. They've got nothing else.
In the big picture, I don't care. But the thing is, this is an example of the way that politics is covered in this country by the mainstream media. And it is one-sided all the time.
Exactly. And look, even though the people, the media and the left wing were pointing out over the weekend, this isn't impromptu. This is staged. The Secret Service had to background these people. Of course they did. The guy's on his, what, second, maybe third assassination attempt? Of course they had to background these people.
Of course they did. And like the folks who show up at the Harris events aren't background checked, too. Of course they are.
Well, yeah, but they're actors as well.
There is that.
I'm going to get into that in just a second. But here's this guy. He's one of the first ones to come through, okay? And he is just awestruck meeting Trump. He's with his wife.
Look at that. How are you?
Thank you, Mr. President.
Nice to see you. Hi, darling. How are you?
You made it possible for ordinary people like us to meet.
You're not ordinary.
I mean, thank you so much.
You are not ordinary. I can see.
We pray for you.
Thank you, and
you are the type of person we want to be the president.
Thank you very much.
The wife says, and I didn't play because it's hard to hear. Yeah. She goes, you took a bullet for us.
Mm-hmm.
And Trump goes, well, yeah, you know, I thought about that. Yeah, okay. These people were just awestruck, and he was in his element. Contrast that with her. She avoids unscripted events.
Yeah.
Let me just put, and I love that the media is suddenly like, oh, that's, it's not real. The Secret Service had to background check them. Okay, let's go through some headlines of what the mainstream media would not cover, but we did. Reporter reveals Kamala's town hall audience, this is the Univision one in Las Vegas, was half rent-a-crowd and half flown in by the network. They were presented as undecided Latino voters. That was not the case. That was a lie. Again, a case where we have rent-a-crowd actors from specific companies. Let's go back to August of 2024. Headline, UK Daily Mail, the U.S. media completely ignored this. August, diners tear into Kamala Harris's campaign for kicking them out of Pittsburgh restaurant to bus in their own crowd for a campaign stunt. I'll never forget this.
Oh, we covered that when it happened.
We did. I know. It was blacked out by the mainstream media. So not only were the actors, and they were actors who were brought in by, by van, not only were the actors background checked by the Secret Service, they weren't even real people. They were put there because they were so afraid of how real people might interact with Kamala Harris and Tim Walz that they kicked the actual patrons out of the restaurant mid-meal to bring in her actors and fake crowd.
Yeah.
the second time she's been caught doing that. And what makes it so dishonest is they then put the video out and don't tell you, hey, those are actors. They're paid to lover. And so it's so disingenuous for the media to be like, well, it's not, you know, totally, you know, unscripted because they were background checked by the Secret Service. Well, yeah, but they're not actors, right? Well, no, that was a legitimate reaction. Okay, well, then we're done here. Trump has never brought in actors. At least if he has, he's never been caught at it. But I know he has it because he doesn't have to.
Yeah.
Did you see the crowd outside that McDonald's?
Oh, I bet it was
huge. Holy cow. They said thousands. It went on as far as the eye could see on the side of the road. And it was probably, 7 to 10 deep on the side of the road. They have them like kind of cordoned off. It went for well over a mile. Until you can't see anymore. And they're just standing there with their Trump signs. They're being held back, obviously, by the cordon for safety reasons. He just served some fries at a McDonald's. Yeah. Leave. He didn't even do a rally.
Yeah.
I mean, to go look at it. I've retweeted it. It's really unbelievable. I mean, if we can't win with this guy this time, we're just never going to win again. I mean, she can't do this.
No.
She can't do this. And she has to bring in, you know, people she buses in to even create the appearance of this. So look, Trump is on a roll. If you want to know how much of a roll he's on, this is the most hilarious thing. Over the weekend, you see this Atlantic article? This reeks of desperation. The headline, Trump is speaking like Hitler, Stalin, and Mussolini. One dictator's not enough.
Wow.
Hitler, Stalin, and Mussolini. For describing his opponents as radical left thugs who live like vermin.
Okay. Well, let's have a little objective journalism and let's quote what Democrats are saying about Donald Trump.
Well, we could look at this administration. I mean, Judicial Watch over the weekend announced they had just filed another FOIA with the Pentagon to get the emails behind the leadership of the Pentagon who did that training video where Christians are characterized as right-wing terrorists.
Right, yeah.
Not a couple of right, I mean, all Christians.
Yes.
Right-wing terrorists. We see a Christian, that's a right-wing terrorist.
Yeah.
That's what they're teaching people inside of our military. And they say Trump is the wannabe dictator?
Yeah.
It just smacks of total desperation. But here's the funny part, okay? On the one hand, they're telling us he's a wannabe dictator. He's going to send SEAL Team 6 after MSNBC host. I mean, come on, we've seen a Trump presidency. We know that's ridiculous. This guy's been in the public light for decades. That's not who he is. But do Democrats actually believe this crud that they're saying, that he's a dictator, Hitler style, Mussolini style? No, they don't. Did you see, this is so funny, 3 campaign ads in 3 swing states for governors and Senate seats, all 3 Democrats, right? So Bob Casey in Pennsylvania, Tammy Baldwin in Wisconsin, and Elisa Slotkin in Michigan. The ads do not feature Kamala Harris. They feature Donald Trump as if he either endorsed the person or as if they worked with him on different legislation. No mention of Kamala. Okay.
So he wasn't the subject of derision during the end.
No.
Oh, amazing.
Okay. No, listen to this.
I want to play a compilation of political ads from Bob Casey in Pennsylvania, Tammy Baldwin, Wisconsin, and Elisa Slotkin in Michigan, all Democrats, all promoting their connections to Donald Trump. Watch this.
Casey bucked Biden to protect fracking, and he sided with Trump to end NAFTA and put tariffs on China to stop them from cheating.
Tammy Baldwin got President Trump to sign her Made in America bill.
And then she got President Biden to make it permanent.
That's why I wrote a law signed by President Trump forcing drug companies to show their actual prices.
Wow.
Yet this is the same party telling us he's like Hitler. We have to save democracy. Then why are you putting him in your ads?
And at least in those clips, I heard no mention of Kamala Harris.
No, there was no mention of her in any of all those 3 ads.
They mentioned Trump and Biden.
No, Kamala Harris wasn't mentioned in any of the ads. Because you know why? They're trying to fool the voters into thinking that they are a Republican compatriot of Donald Trump.
Oh, there's another reason. Focus groups, Tara. Focus groups, tell them.
Yeah.
That because those focus groups guide those ads. They tell them the things that voters don't want to hear, that they don't want to see, or that they do want to hear and do want to see. And what these focus groups are telling them is Kamala Harris is toxic to undecided voters.
So I guess these focus groups are Hitlerian then, if they like the Hitler.
Or maybe Mussolini, you know, a little Italian flair there.
Oh, by the way, The Atlantic also worked in Mao Zedong.
Oh, good.
Yeah, this is the kind of language that was not limited to Europe, they wrote over the weekend. Okay. Mao Zedong also described his political opponents as poisonous weeds.
Okay.
Pol Pot spoke of cleansing hundreds of thousands of his compatriots so that Cambodia would be purified.
What about Ivan the Terrible or Alexander the Great?
Oh, man.
Or the Pharaoh, you know?
How far back would you like
exactly.
to go, really?
Let's just go all the way, you know?
Right. But again, when it comes to their ads, who do they put in the ads? They put Donald Trump, not Kamala Harris. And these are in the most contentious Democrat races in the country, in swing states, which gives you an idea of what the polling might look like internally. Yeah. I don't know.
I just don't want to get overconfident.
I don't either.
I just don't want to get overconfident.
Here's the problem, okay? This is what scares me a little bit. I'll explain this again in the next segment. But Lee, the highest propensity voters most likely to vote in this country overwhelmingly are for Kamala Harris. It's by like 3 or 4 points. The mid and lower propensity voters in this country, according to Cook Political Point, are overwhelmingly for Donald Trump. This is why all of a sudden they're telling you the truth about the polls. Oh, yeah, he's going to win. Yeah, man, look at him go. All seven of the swing states. Look at that. Almost immediately after after the Cook Report published that analysis of polls showing, hey, listen, the Republicans they love Trump, but they're much lower propensity voters. All of a sudden they're like, he's winning. Stay home.
Yeah. So we don't have to show up. Yeah,
exactly. They're trying to push our turnout down.
Got to show up
by convincing us he's winning. It's the only play left.
Yep.
And we don't want it to work. So however long you have to stand in that line, you stand in that line. It's really cool. It's just something you can actually do to send a message. You don't get this chance, very often, Lee. And here's the other cool thing, okay? I like to think of it this way. When I am standing in line all that time and I'm, on my phone, I'm doing whatever, it's not just my vote count. I think of it like I am canceling out the vote of a liberal somewhere.
Yeah.
Somewhere, some liberal has left all of her cats at home and she is standing in line, right? And she's determined, man. And I'm standing right here to cancel her vote. Waste her time, which makes my time very valuable when I'm doing it. Yes. So think of it that way. Get a good burn on. Go stand in line. Go vote early. Folks, this was an historic weekend in so many different ways. This was, and I don't know if it'll go down this way. This marks a point in time, an important point in time, where the Democrat Party broke up with Christians. Where if you're a Christian, you are not welcome in the Democrat Party. If you say things like Jesus is Lord, Jesus is King, and nothing else, you will be ejected. The crowd will mock you as you go. If you try it at a Kamala Harris rally. Okay, so I'm going to play this for you. This broke the internet over the weekend. She was talking about how Donald Trump packed the court to take your abortion rights or something, which actually did not happen. They were actually returned to you from the court. You now get to decide at the state level. But that's the lie they tell. Anyway, there were two students there, University of Wisconsin students, and they yelled, "Jesus is Lord." Here's how she responded.
Oh, you guys are at the wrong rally. The smaller one down the street.
Yeah. And you can't hear that in the short clip, but they eventually ended up chanting bye, 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 laughing as not security, not Secret Service, but the campaign staff escorted them out. All they did was yell, "Jesus is Lord." You know what's fascinating about this? This would have been unthinkable for the Democrat Party 20 years ago. You would have never done this. If you don't vote for Kamala, guys, you might not get... What time is this? Kids are in school. You might not get laid. This is the adult portion of the program. Wait, what? Yeah, new ad called Don't Get Popped. And I can't show you this part, but I'll play it for you. There's a guy And there's this, like, you know, line of women, I guess, looking to date him. And he's the perfect catch, as he describes. He's a black guy. He's a perfect catch. And these women who are very attractive are standing there and they're all holding balloons and they're nodding among themselves like, yeah, this is a great guy. We'd like to date him, until they find out that he's not going to vote for Kamala. Then he gets chop blocked. Take a listen.
Hello, ladies. I'm Trey. It's good to be here.
Hey, Trey.
Hey, hey.
So, what do you do and how much do you make?
I work in finance, making six figures.
How tall are you?
6'5".
Okay. Do you work out?
I like to stay active, yeah.
Do you have a plan to vote?
I didn't plan on it.
And it says, don't get popped. In other words, you got to vote for Kamala or the women aren't going to go for you.
We're walking away, but there's about three attendees there, volunteers that kicked us out with press, with badges or whatever they had. And I specifically remember this one man saying, you were uninvited and unwelcome to this event. You need to leave. And all they did was walk us out the door. They didn't tell us why. No cops escorted us out. No Secret Service. And yeah, that's our story.
So where was...
This is it. This is that point in history. You are not welcome. You are not, if you are talking about Jesus, if you are clearly a Christian, you are not welcome. You are kicked right out that door. This is the Democrat Party for you. And you know what's weird? You know what's interesting? Everybody keeps talking about how awkward she is, right? She couldn't do the McDonald's drive-thru thing the way Trump did. Trump was in his element. He loves meeting people. He loves interacting socially. She's not. She's afraid of people. She controls people. At these events, in terms of how they interact with her, she's afraid of real people, so she brings in actors who she can control, right? This is who she is. She's awkward. But she's awkward because she can't be who she is. But if you notice those few times when she's not awkward, it's when she's being who she is. This is who she is. I'm going to play this clip one more time. I know I just played it for you. Notice there's no awkwardness here. She's extremely direct. She's very confident. Why? Because for 18 seconds in this clip, she's not hiding who she is. She hates Christians.
Oh, you guys are at the wrong rally. No, I think you meant to go to the smaller one down the street.
No awkwardness, is there? That awkwardness that has plagued her is gone. The only reason she has awkwardness is for the same reason any of the rest of us would be awkward. If you have to pretend to be something you are not, it's hard. And for a moment there, the mask slipped. She wasn't awkward at all because that is who she is. Right now is a great time to save at Jeff Lynch Appliance and TV Center. Don't miss the fall savings sale. Well, you'll save big store-wide and pay no interest until November 2026. Only at Jeff Lynch Appliance and TV Center. Get a $300 in black men. They are just not happy. By the way, the internet assumed that was directed at black men. But if you look at the ad buy in Facebook, because you have to specify your target audience, it's supposedly women. So I think what they think is they're telling women to tell the men in their life that if you don't vote for Kamala, you know, good things won't happen for you in this relationship, shall we say. My best guess is what they were trying to communicate there. The ads from this campaign have been so bad, it's hard to say. Texture writes, Kamala mocks those who would support Jesus, but then she goes to a church in Atlanta to campaign. I know, I caught the irony of that. Texture writes, Tara, I am disappointed and disgusted in the way that crowd reacted with laughter, jeers, and cheers. Yes, as those two Christians were thrown out. Wonder how many of them truly understood or chose to muffle their ears. Yeah, I don't know. J.D. Vance, though, commented on it. Here's how it went. Somebody, by the way, in the crowd yelled, Jesus is king. Listen to his very different reaction.
There is something really bizarre with Kamala Harris's anti-Christian rhetoric and anti-Christian approach to public policy. That's right. Jesus is king.
How hard is that? You don't even have to say that. Again, she could have just, this is what's so remarkable. She could have just ignored it. It was so low, so muffled. Like I said, I could barely hear them yelling, Jesus is Lord. It was actually one of them who yelled it. I could barely hear it. I really had to turn the volume up as I was kind of manipulating it, trying to create a clip where you could hear it. And I ultimately failed. So I just have to tell you that's what they say because it wouldn't translate over our translators. It's that muffled. She could have ignored this, but she couldn't let it go. She couldn't let it go. That's the difference right there. That says everything that you need to know in this campaign. Okay. Meanwhile, James O'Keefe has a new documentary out. Have you heard about this? This is on, I don't even know the words for this. And in it, he visits a hotel in New York where the Pakistani government, in anticipation of a flood of Pakistani illegal immigrants, understand Pakistan is a bastion, a home for ISIS and for the Pakistani Taliban. Do we know who these people are? No, we do not. They anticipated an absolute, you know, crush of illegal immigrants coming to America. And so the Pakistani government reserved a hotel for them in New York. This gives you an idea of just the size of the invasion here. And just, you know what, the absolute lawlessness of it, quite frankly. So, and this is just part of, it's called Line in the Sand. This is just part of the, the intro for it, where you see him doing this. Okay, here, let me get this. Okay. I'm going to have to play this for you coming up, unfortunately. Okay, I don't know why I can't access it. Okay, so you know what we'll do? We'll play the Elon Musk ad. I mean, the Elon Musk speech. Elon Musk personally going to Pennsylvania, which just gives me the chills. And he's holding his own town halls at this point. And honestly, for a good reason. I mean, trying to avoid, quite frankly, prison, which is where he's going for promulgating the First Amendment, as he has been. Take a listen to his warning about the fate of Western civilization in Pennsylvania.
And this election, I think, I can't emphasize enough that Pennsylvania is, I think, the linchpin in this election. And this election, I think, is going to decide the fate of America, and along with the fate of America, the fate of Western civilization. And I think the things we all want are simple, sensible, I mean, common sense things. We obviously want secure borders. We want safe cities. Sensible spending, so that we don't have crazy inflation. We want freedom of speech. We want the Constitution to be upheld. I'm being told at times that these are like right-wing values. I'm like, are you insane? Because this is literally the fundamental values that made America what it is today. Who's against those things is fundamentally anti-American, and the hell with them.
It's interesting that he's saying this. I mean, this is a guy who's been a Democrat for most of the time we've known of him publicly, supported Barack Obama, supported the Democrats, generally thought of as one of them, loved by them. They bought his cars. And what he's saying is, look, I mean, this is not right wing stuff. Free speech, freedom, secure border. We're not going to have terrorists running over the border. We don't know who they are. Maybe they made it in. Maybe they didn't. These are not right wing values. In other words, he's saying these are American, it's simple American values. The right to speak, the right to be safe in your own country. And he's right. Western civilization is on the ballot. They've removed it from the classroom, by the way. They don't call it that anymore, but it's on the ballot. Either want it, thumbs up or thumbs down. All right, we'll be right back. Starts today. Well, the highly symbolic Daniel Penny trial starts today. Oh, the irony. He's facing years in prison for Jordan Neely's death. Jordan Neely is a longtime multi-convicted criminal who was scaring other passengers with his aggression and his ranting. Put in a headlock by Daniel Penny. Unfortunately, he succumbed to his injuries. He had drugs in it, the illegal drugs in his system. We don't know how much that contributed. But of course, Alvin Bragg is throwing the full Monty at him, trying to put him in prison. This is one of these cases where prosecutors have discretion. You could have looked at it as many times looked at, you know, here in the South, if somebody breaks into your house and you shoot them and they end up dead, well, there's no charges. Self-defense. Prosecutor could have taken that tact and not tried him at all. That's what's so remarkable about this. And yet, they are rolling out the full legal juggernaut for him, trying to put him away. While the same prosecutor's office has allowed a gang of illegal immigrants, 21 of them, to terrorize Times Square. These are kids from the age of 11 to the age of 21 who are being run by the Tren de Aragua gang. At first, they were doing strong arm robbery. And they were doing, you know, run up to somebody, grab her purse, run off with it. But when there was no arrest or prosecution for any of that, they moved to using knives to threaten their victims. And now they have guns. They're almost all underage. They're going to kill somebody. Over 50 of these robberies in Times Square documented by this gang, never one time have any of them been arrested. They're just allowed to roam free. Use some knives, use some guns. It's okay. Because they're the right people. They're illegal immigrants. Can you imagine an illegal immigrant mother letting her child run free like this in like middle of the night with knives in Times Square? And the police say that the powers that be, you know, there's no point in arresting them because they're not going to be prosecuted. What is it? What are you looking at when you look at this? You're looking at a prosecutor's office that is implementing two-tier justice. Justice implemented according to how it is believed you will vote, or how people who look like you or fall into your demographic are believed to vote. If it is believed that people like you, white male, former military, acted to protect innocent passengers on the subway, you're probably going to vote Republican. We're going to throw the book at you. Illegal immigrant, graduated from strong arm robbery to knives to guns. Well, he's probably going to vote Democrat. No charges. That's what you're looking at here. Again, a prosecutor could have called this self-defense and been done with it. No trial. No waste of time. Look, this is the same office, Alvin Bragg's office, that those anti-Semitic protesters who made Jewish students so afraid they couldn't come on Columbia's campus. The same prosecutor's office who, after they broke into the building and held the janitor hostage, said, you know what, we'll do a diversionary program for you. No need for a trial or charges. Hey, if you want to take over another building to hawk your anti-Semitism. Folks, if you and I did that, you know what they'd call it? Breaking and entering, felony level. And they'd hit us with felony after felony after felony. But because it's the right cause, anti-Semitism, pro-Hamas, and because these are Democrat protesters, it's all good. No, we'll cut them a deal. We'll just cut them a little deal and yeah. Right people, wrong people. That's how the law works. The law has never worked this way before. This is new. It's according to who you are and your value to the party. Now, it's not new in places like China, where this is the way that the law works. They literally assign you a score, a social credit score, so we can have a numerical value to attach to the only sort of thing that matters or has any value. It's not human life, but your value to the party. So if you're high value, you've got a good social credit score, then you get to do things that people who have bad social credit scores don't get to do. Different standards of justice apply to you. And we're watching that. That's what this is in New York. And Penny's trial is just an example of that. The whole country will run this way if she wins. Well, I'm a Republican. I don't dare. I mean, what if I didn't come to a complete stop at the stop sign? It's not like I'm a Democrat. Texture writes, hey, Tara, Kamala's reaction to the Christians was the first time she told a truth. Another texture writes, Tara kind of makes you... Okay, wait. Texture writes, don't miss the big point talking about the Kamala Harris rally. This isn't mocking Christians. This is mocking Christ. This is mocking God. It's satanic. Christians are collateral damage. Texture writes, oh, this is a good point about the Kamala rally where all they yell is Jesus is Lord. They get thrown out. Texture writes, I think they could have gotten by shouting Allahu Akbar all day long. Oh, she would have never pulled him out for that. Texture writes, hey, Tara, we just left our polling place in Powdersville. There's absolutely no parking available. That is fantastic. You know when it was last like that here in South Carolina? I'll never forget it, going to my polling place, the 2016 when Trump won. And often the parking lot fills up. That wasn't unusual. It was the cars that went for probably, I don't know, half, three quarters of a mile down the unpaved side of the road. There were farms there, and they were just, it was line and line and line and line. I went, oh my gosh, something's happening. Something we hadn't seen before. And that's what it took to beat Hillary, and he did it. So that's a great sign. I'm glad you shared that with me. Texter writes, where'd it go? I don't know what that means. And Texter writes, popped is another term for shot. I'm not sure what they were trying to convey, but it was very hostile to black men. Now, the texter writes, just voted in Clemson. 5 of 8 machines were down. Look, folks, this is why, I'm so glad you texted me this. This is why we vote early and not on election day. We don't vote on election day, especially in North Carolina and Georgia. Why? Because it gives them all the power. Now they know if, you know, 5 out of 8 machines conveniently go down, well, guess what? They can keep you from voting. And it becomes a contest. How long can you stand online? Don't do that. Go to early voting. Get it done. If you live in North Carolina and Georgia or South Carolina, you got to get it done. Texture writes, Tara. Actually, I'm going to skip that one. Listen, we check out Battleground America podcast. You can always find it wherever you find your podcast. We'll be back tomorrow.